إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فموضوع التوبة إذا طرح لا يرد على ذهن السامع إلا ما يتعلق بالمعاصي والشهوات والتقصير بحق الله وعدم القيام بأمره جل وعلا، ولكن أمرا أهم وشأنا أعظم يفوت على كثير من الأذهان التنبه إليه والتفكر به والوقوف عنده، ألا وهو ما يتعلق بالتوبة من الشبهات. فالشهوات متعلقة بالمعاصي، والشبهات متعلقة في غالب أمرها بالطاعات، ومن هنا جاء الخلط الدقيق والتأثير الكبير الذي يغيب التنبه له كما تقدم. وقد نقل شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله في غير واحد من كتبه إجماع الأمة على أن خطر أو عظم إثم أهل البدع والشهوات أنه أشد من معاصي أهل الشهوات. وفي هذا يقول بعض أئمة السلف: البدعة أحب إلى إبليس من المعصية، فإن المعصية يتاب منها والبدع لا يتاب منها. إذا رأيت إنسانا تاركا للصلاة أو سكيرا من المسلمين، عامة المسلمين، أو مبتلا ببعض الفواحش، وذكرته بالله ونصحته أن يترك ما اقترفت يداه وما تلعب به هواه، فسرعان ما ينكسر قلبه، وسرعان ما يتأثر، بل قد يرجع ويتوب. ولعل الكثيرين منا كان هذا حالهم من قبل، أو على الأقل أن يتلطف معك في القول، وأن يقبل كلامك وأن يستوعبه، بل قد يطلب منك أن تدعو له لعل الله عز وجل يهديه سواء السبيل. بينما لو رأينا إنسانا آخر، هذا الإنسان من أهل البدع، صاحب فكر قبوري، أو صاحب حزبية ضالة، أو صاحب رأي منحرف، ثم نصحته وأمرته ونهيته، فإنه لن يقبل منك كأصل، لن يقبل منك، بل قد ينظر إليك نظرة من برج عاجي، نظرة استعلائية، يقول لك أنا على الحق وأنت على الباطل، بينما ذاك العاصي لا يمكن أن يقول لك أنت على باطل وأنا على حق، يقول لك أنا على باطل وأنت على الحق. أما هذا المبتدع يعكس، يقول لك أنا محق وأنت مبتدع، حتى لو كنت تنصحه في السنة واتباع السنة، لأنه يرى نفسه أنه أعظم اتباعا منك وأقرب إلى الله منك. ومن هنا جاء كبر التأثير للبدعة، وأن البدعة أحب إلى إبليس من المعصية، فالمعصية يتوب صاحبها، لكن البدعة قل أن يتوب منها صاحب. وها هنا موضع ذكر حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، إن الله احتجب، وفي رواية احتجز التوبة عن كل صاحب بدعة حتى يدع بدعته، إن الله احتجب التوبة عن كل صاحب بدعة حتى يدع بدعته. لماذا؟ لأن هذا المبتدع يظن نفسه على هدى، ويظن نفسه على صواب، ويظن نفسه على صراط مستقيم، فكيف يتوب من شيء يظن نفسه فيه على الهدى، بل هو سيزداد به تمسكا. لذلك هنالك كلمة أو خبر روي عن الإمام محمد بن سيرين، والإمام محمد بن سيرين أئمة التابعين ومن كبار ثقاتهم وكبرائهم، جاء أحد أصحابه يقول له: يا إمام أبشرك. قال: ماذا؟ قال: إن فلانا من أهل البدع ترك بدعته. قال: لا تعجل، انظر إلى أي بدعة أخرى يصير، انظر إلى أي بدعة أخرى يصير، إذا ترك بدعته فإنه ينتقل إلى بدعة أخرى، كما جاء عن الإمام مالك. انظروا ثبات أهل السنة ببلبلة وتبلبل أهل الأهواء. جاء رجل إلى الإمام مالك قال له: يا أبا عبد الله، أريد أن أنظرك. قال: أنا على بينة من أمري، أنا على بينة من أمري، يعني تناظرني في شيء أنا على بينة منه؟ أو كلما جاءنا رجل أجدل من رجل تركنا ما جاء به محمد إلى جدل هذا وذاك؟ لأنها أهواء وأمراض وشبهات قد تكون قوية. لذلك جاء رجل إلى ابن سيرين نفسه يقول له: يا إمام، أريد أن أقرأ عليك القرآن. قال: ولا آية. قال: السنة. قال: ولا حديث. قال: أريد أن أجلس إليك. قال: تقومن عني أو لا أقومن، لتقومن عني أو لا أقومن، طالما أنك ثابت على منهجك ومتسلسل في سلسلة أهل العلم الربانيين من أهل السنة السلفيين، فأنت على بينة من أمرك، أنت على ثبات، على استقامة، الشبهة عنك بعيدة. لكن انظروا بالمقابل إلى الأحزاب والأهواء والأفكار المنتشرة هنا وهنالك، لا ترى منهم من يتسلسل سنده عبر سلسلة الذهب من أئمة العلم ومن أهل السنة، بل إنك تراه إذا أراد أن يطعن بدأ بالطعن بعلماء أهل السنة، فقطع من سنده وبتر نهجه من طريقهم وسبيلهم أول ما يفعل. أيها الإخوة، إن التوبة من الشبهات أعظم بكثير من التوبة من الشهوات، ونسأل الله تعالى أن يبصرنا خطر هذا وذاك، حتى تكون منا توبة نصوح ودعاء لحوح، أن يفرج الله كربنا وأن يحسن خاتمتنا.
شيخ أبو الحارث حفظه الله started with خطبة الحاجة praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى and sending peace and blessings from Allah upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said that whenever the issue or the subject of tawbah is being dealt with, what occurs to one of us is sins and acts of disobedience and desires, and not to fulfill and failing in fulfilling the obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is an issue that is more important than that, that most of us miss, which is tawbah with regards to the shubuhat and the doubts. So shahawat, the desires, have to do with the sins and acts of disobedience, whereas the shubuhat and the shubuhat and the doubts, they have to do with acts of obedience. They have to do with at-ta'at. This is why this mixing between the ta'at, between the acts of obedience and the innovations, has been very important for everyone to become acquainted with, so that he doesn't fall into that evil. Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in many of his books the consensus of the Muslim Ummah that the evil and the danger of innovation and its people is greater than the evil of sin and its people. And this is why one of the Imams of As-Salaf said that the innovation, the bid'ah, is more beloved to shaitan than the sin itself. Because the sin, it is easy for the person who falls into it to repent, whereas the one who falls into innovation, it is hard for him to repent. So if you see someone who has abandoned the prayer, he doesn't pray, or you saw someone who drinks alcohol from the Muslims, or he falls into some sins, and you remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that he will recognize his mistake and his fault, and he will be touched with the advice that you give to him, and he might repent and abandon that sin. And at least he would be nice to you, and he would accept your advice, and will say to you, I am upon evil, I know that, so please make dua for me. So he will treat you in a good way. But if you come to someone who is involved in bid'ah, who is involved in the understanding of the people of the graves, or the people of the deviant partisanship, or any deviant opinion, and you come and you give him advice, or you command him with that which is good, or you forbid him from his bid'ah or innovation, he will not accept that from you. Rather, he will look down upon you, and he will think that he is upon righteousness, he's upon good, but you are upon evil. But the one who falls into sin, he would not do that. So the person of innovation will look down upon you, because he sees himself better than you. He sees himself upon guidance, and he sees that you are deviant. This is why innovation has been very serious and dangerous in the religion of Islam, and this is why it is more beloved to a shaitan than the sin. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has kept the bid'ah away from everyone who is involved in bid'ah until he abandons that innovation. So the person of innovation believes that he is upon guidance, that he is upon good, that he is worshipping Allah, and that he is closer to Allah than you. So how could he repent from something that he believes it is guidance? How could he abandon something that he believes will get him closer to Allah? There is a narration with regard to Muhammad ibn Sirin, one of the greatest of the Tabi'een. One of his friends came, or his students came to him, and he said, Ya Imam, I give you good news, glad tidings. He said, what happened? He said, so and so from the people of innovation has repented. He has abandoned his innovation. He has given up his bid'ah. So Ibn Sirin said to him, do not be hasty. Do not rejoice and be hasty, and wait until you see in which other bid'ah he is going to fall in. So the people of the Salaf, the people of knowledge, they know that the one who falls into innovation, he will leave it only to go to another innovation. This is the seriousness of al-bid'ah. As another narration came about, al-Imam Malik, a man came to him and he said, I want to debate with you. So he said to him, I am upon clarity. I follow a clear guidance, so I don't need to debate with you. How can I debate with everyone who comes to me? Everyone comes, he's more argumentative, he's more persuasive than the other, then we abandon for his argument the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm upon clarity, so get away from me. And the reason why Imam Malik dealt with him in that way, and there are many narrations from a Salaf that they dealt with the people of innovation that way, is that innovation and bid'ah is contagious. It is a disease that spreads easily from one to another. So not to get that contamination or be affected by that, they always kept themselves away from the people of innovation, even talking to them. And a man came to Ibn Sirin again, and he said to him, I want to recite some Quran to you. And that man was from the people of innovation, so he said to him, not even one verse. So he said, okay, I want to read some of the sunnah to you. He said, not even one hadith. So he said, I want to talk to you. He said, listen, you either leave or I will leave. I don't want to sit down with you. Why? Because he wanted to protect himself. Because these innovations are contagious. So as long as you are upon clarity of your methodology, as long as you are upon the guidance and the footsteps of the scholars of As-Salafiyya, upon the manhaj of the righteous predecessors, then you are upon a straight path and you are upon clarity. So keep away from doubt and keep away from anything that lacks clarity. Look at the people of innovation and the people of partisanship. None of them is attached to that golden chain of scholars from the time of the Prophet ﷺ until our time. Actually, they cut off themselves from the people of knowledge, from this golden chain. So you find them always refuting the great scholars of Al-Islam, the great scholars of the Salafi methodologies. So they cut themselves completely from that guidance that came through that golden chain of the Salafi scholars. And even if you notice that these people of partisanship and innovation, whenever they want to refute, they always refute the people of As-Sunnah. So, repenting from the shubuhat, from the doubt and the innovations is greater, is far greater than repenting from falling into sin. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us clarity and to enlighten our insights into the religion and into the dangers of doubt and innovation, and to keep us away from that.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. تحدث شيخنا الفاضل بخصوص الابتلاء في مسألة الشبهة، ودورنا الآن أن نتكلم بابتلاء الإنسان بالشهوة. الشهوات المعروضة في هذه الدنيا وهي من متاعها ملموسة ظاهرة، أما الشبهة فهي أيضا في باب العلم، مجالها في الباب العلمي، بينما الشهوات أكثرها ملموس في المجال العملي. ولذلك ابتلي الإنسان في هذا الشق الملموس الشهوة، وفي الشق الآخر العلمي الذي تنبني من خلاله الشبهة. ولذلك هنا ابتلاء في هذا الباب العملي، وهنا ابتلاء في الباب العلمي. ولا شك أن الباب العلمي أخطر من الباب العملي، لأن العملي ينبني على العلمي. ولذلك جاء الاهتمام أولا بالاعتقاد، فإذا صح اعتقاد الإنسان صح أداؤه العملي، وإذا فسد هذا الاعتقاد فسد بناء عليه العملي. ومن هنا قدم الله عز وجل المغضوب عليهم على الضالين في سورة الفاتحة، على اعتبار أن اليهود أدخلوا في دين الله عز وجل الشبهات، ثم بالتالي دخل وراءهم النصارى تبعا في أعمالهم التي يقومون بها، سواء كانت أعمال تخص الدنيا أو أعمال تخص العبادة. ولذلك المسؤول الأول في هدم أعمال الإنسان بحيث تكون هذه الأعمال فاسدة هو الشق الأول العلم ولا ينهدم العلم إلا بإدخال الشبهات وتحريف كتاب الله عز وجل أو تحريف سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ولذلك في سورة مريم قال الله عز وجل: فخلف من بعدهم خلف. ماذا فعل هذا الخلف؟ أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا. إذن أضاعوا الصلاة، شو سبب ضياع هذه الصلاة؟ سببها ضعف الاعتقاد، صحة الاعتقاد صارت هشة ضعيفة، بحيث أن الإنسان أصبحت في نظره الصلاة لا قيمة لها. فلما صار الاعتقاد ضعيفا أطلق الإنسان الشهوة، أطلق العنان للشهوة فانطلقت. ولذلك هؤلاء لما أضاعوا الصلاة، وهي ركن مهم ينبني من العبادة، ينبني على الاعتقاد الصحيح، أصبحت أمامهم الشهوات مطلقة فأطلقوا العنان لها. قال: واتبعوا الشهوات. فأي شهوات هذه؟ ما هي صنف هذه الشهوات التي أطلق عنانهم لها؟ هذه الشهوات وضحها الله عز وجل في سورة آل عمران، قال: زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. هذه هي متاع الحياة الدنيا، زينت البشر. فإذا الإنسان ضعف اعتقاده بالله عز وجل أصبحت هذه المواد المعروضة المزينة يفعل بها ما يشاء، لا يقيده شيء ولا ضابط ولا مخافة من الله ولا تقوى. وإلا فالإنسان يأتي هذه الشهوات لكن في قالبها الشرع الصحيح المبني على الاعتقاد الصحيح. فإذا ضعف هذا الاعتقاد أصبح هذا الاعتقاد فاسدا أطلقت هذه الشهوات بحيث تنقلب عليه، كما تجدون في دول الكفر والغرب وفي المسلمين الذين ضعف إيمانهم فدخلوا في هذا الباب دخولا بغير وعي. والله عنده حسن المآب. ختم هذه الآية حتى يذكر بأن الإنسان يحتاج إلى ضوابط تضبط هذه الشهوة. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: حفت النار بالشهوات وحفت الجنة بالمكاره. إذن هذه طبيعة الإنسان البشري، أنه يريد أن يطلق لنفسه الشهوة، لكن ما الذي يجعله يضبطها؟ ومخافة الله، فهو يكرهها من هذا الباب على أن تتقي الله فيأتي الشهوة كما أمره الله عز وجل. هذا الباب الذي أشرنا به هو باب الشهوة. ولا شك أن باب الشبهة وهي صناعة الأفكار الضالة، صناعة الأفكار الضالة هي العمدة في هدم المسائل والمعاصي الأخرى. ولذلك المعصية أقل أو أهون من قضية البدعة، ولذلك البدعة تفسد في الناس لأنها تفسد في باب الاعتقاد. والله تعالى أعلم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله praised Allah سبحانه وتعالى and conferred peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said, Shaykh Abu al-Harith حفظه الله spoke about the problem of al-shubha and the innovation, the doubt. And now we will address the subject of al-shahwa, the desires and the lust. The desires and the temptations that are present and offered in this life are tangible, and everyone is in touch with them, is in some sort of contact with them in all his affairs. So it is a practical thing. It is something tangible. But as to the ashubuha or the doubts, they are connected to knowledge and to the understanding. So they are some sort of scientific thing. So this is why الشهوات, the lusts, as we said, are tangible, and we have some sort of contact with them in our life. So this is why both of them has been considered to be a trial or a test. There is the test in terms of understanding, or the mental test, which is in terms of الشبهات, the doubts and the innovations. But as to the practical test, this is the thing, the trial of a shahawat and the desire. And the mental field or the mental trial is the most important, which is the doubts and the shubuhat. Because of one important point that we have to understand, the practical or the shahawat, the lust and the desires, this trial is based upon the trial of the shubuhat, the doubts. Because all the practical things are based upon the understanding, and they emanate from the understanding. So if the understanding is corrupt, then all the practical outcomes are going to be corrupt. So this is why we have to pay great attention to this point. So if the belief, if the creed, if the aqidah is correct and sound, then the actions will be correct and sound. But if the aqidah and understanding is corrupt and invalid, then the actions will be corrupt and invalid as well. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha mentioned غير المغضوب عليهم, the ones with whom Allah is angry, who are the Jews. He mentioned them before mentioning الضالين, the ones who went astray, who are the Christians. Why? Because the Jews, they inserted or they introduced the doubt, the shubuhat, into the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that caused, or that brought about the corruption of the Christians, those who went astray. So the Christians were followers, or their deviation came as a consequence, or as a result to the corruption that was introduced by the Jews, which had to do, as we said, with the mental or with the understanding of the religion. So the main cause of the corruption of the deeds and the actions is the corruption of the aqidah, or the understanding, which is the first point that we, or the Shaykh Ali, talked about. And the only thing that corrupts the understanding and the aqidah are the doubts and the distortion and the changing of the meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ, and after them came generations who lost the prayer, or who missed the prayer. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they followed their desires. So what made them miss up the prayer, or leave it, or abandon it, is that there happened or occurred weakness in their i'tiqad, in their belief. So as the aqidah or the i'tiqad or the belief has become weak, then the prayer had no value in their sight. So they abandoned the prayer, and they gave free play, or they set free their desires. They followed them. Whatever they felt like doing, they just went after their desires. And the third thing that happened to them after their i'tiqad became corrupt, and after they abandoned the prayer, they went into following their desires in every aspect of their lives. But what doubts or what desires these that they have followed? They are mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, the adornment of this life, or the desires of this life, have been adorned to the people, and these desires are النِّسَاء, حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ, and the children, حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ, وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ, and the great, or the loads of silver and gold, wealth, مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ, and the horses and the cattle, وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ, and cultivation and agriculture. So in brief, the properties or the material properties and values of the, in this life, these are the shahawat and the desires that they followed. And then at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that is the pleasure These are the desires or the adornment of this life. Wallahu indahu husnul ma'ab. And with Allah is the best end or is the best destiny or return. So if the i'tiqad or the belief of the person becomes weak, then all this adornment and all these desires will take or will occupy his heart and will occupy his life as long as there is nothing restrains him like fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the one who follows the guidance from Allah, he enjoys these desires and these adornments according to the way legislated in the religion of Allah. So as we said, if the i'tiqad and the belief becomes corrupt, then the person will follow his desires. And this is what we see today in the West, that the people are blindly following their desires. All their lives are based upon their desires because there is no i'tiqad, there is no belief. All of it is corrupt. All of it is destroyed. And this is the case with many Muslims who have left their deen and their iman has become weak. So every human being needs these restraints that are in the religion of Islam in order to regulate his life and control his desires. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that paradise has been surrounded and there has been a shield around it made of hardships. And the hellfire has been surrounded, or there's a shield around it made by temptations and desires. So this is the nature of human beings, that they would follow their desires without any restraint. So what helps us control our desires? This is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is based upon correct i'tiqad, correct belief. So the shubuhat or the doubts or the diseases in terms of the doubts or in terms of the understanding is introducing corrupt understanding and corrupt belief to the religion, and this leads the human being or the Muslim to fall into his desires and follow them blindly. This is why bid'ah, innovation, is considered more dangerous than the sin itself.
Alhamdulillah, salat salam ala Rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ma'alahu wa taba'a hudah, amma ba'd. نقول ما الذي جعل هؤلاء الناس وهم أهل ديانة وعندهم إخلاص ولو فيما يتوهمونه من أنفسهم، ما الذي جعلهم واقعين بتلكم الأفكار التي جعلتهم أهل شبهات وأهل أهواء وكانوا بها أشد خطرا وأعظم ضررا من أهل المعاصي والشهوات؟ قبل أن نذكر أهم الأسباب، أذكر أثرا وخبرا يلتقيان بما تقدم أو يلتقيان بما تقدم ذكره وبيانه وتأصيله. أما الأثر فهو ما روي عن بعض أئمة السلف من قولهم إن الشيطان ليفتح 99 بابا من الخير ليوقعك في باب من الشر واحد. عندما يأتي الشيطان إلى أهل الدين يأتيهم من الباب نفسه، لا يأتيهم من باب الدنيا، وعندما يأتي إلى أهل الدنيا لا يأتيهم من باب الدين وإنما يأتيهم باب الدنيا. لذلك فإن الله عز وجل نهى عن اتباع خطوات الشيطان، ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. لماذا نهانا عن اتباع خطوات الشيطان؟ لأن اتباعه في خطوة قد يودي به إلى خطوات، بل قد يوقعه على أم رأسه من بعد في الضلال والشبهات والمصيبات. وهذا ذكرني بكلمة لبعض الكتاب الإسلاميين الذين انتقدوا بأفكارهم وعقيدتهم، لكن هي كلمة جيدة لذلك نذكره ولا نذكر اسمه، نذكر كلمته ولا نذكر اسمه. قال: عندما ييأس الشيطان من الدخول على العبد الداعي إلى الله من مصلحته الشخصية يدخل عليه من المصلحة التي يحب، مصلحة الدعوة. ثم قال: إن كلمة مصلحة الدعوة يجب أن تشطب من قاموس الدعاء لأنها صارت طاغوتا يعبد من دون الله. أيضا في باب الشبهات، في باب تزيين السوء بلبوس الدين والإسلام، يحلق لحيته مصلحة الدعوة، يخالف أمر الله مصلحة الدعوة، يتحزب ويحقد مصلحة الدعوة، يفرق ويشتت مصلحة الدعوة. كلمة يعني كالوسادة الكبيرة التي يتكأ عليها. اسم بلا حقيقة وكلمة بلا مضمون، إن هي إلا تسويغ للشبهات باسم الدين. وأما الخبر أو الواقعة فهي ما ذكره شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله لما ناقش بعض غلاة الصوفية، فقال له قائلهم: يا شيخ، ماذا تنقم علينا؟ نحن نتوب الناس. ماذا تنقم علينا؟ نحن نتوب الناس. فماذا كان جواب شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله؟ قال: والله ما الذي توبتموهم منه بأقل سوء أو سوءا مما أوقعتموهم فيه. كانوا عصاة وصاروا أهل بدعة. أن يظلوا عصاة على شؤم المعصية وضلالها أهون من أن يصيروا أهل أهواء وشبهات. وهذا يا إخواني شيء لمسناه وأحسسنا به. كنا نرى بعض الناس من العامة والدهماء لا يصلون ولا يأتون المسجد ولا يصومون، بل قد يجاهرون في المعصية، فإذا رأونا في الطريق استحيوا وكسروا أبصارهم وزلت رقابهم. بل قد يأتيك الواحد منهم إذا رآك ولم يستطع أن يتحاشاك يقول لك: يا شيخ ادعو الله لنا. بل قد يبادروننا بالسلام والتسليم والترحيب. تمر الأيام فإذا به صار من أهل المسجد تفرح، لكن فرحتك لا تطول. إذا به لا يسلم عليك، إذا به لا ينظر إليك، إذا به يعرض عنك، إذا به يحب ويبغض على الهاتف بغضا حزبيا حقودا. إذن أثره في الأمة وفي نفسه لما كان عاصيا كان أكثر فاعلية. أؤكد على شؤم المعصية وخطرها وضلالها، لكن تلك معصية باسم الهوى والشيطان والشهوة، وهذه يظنها طاعة باسم الدين والإيمان والقرآن، وهنا موضع الخطر الأشد والأكبر. أما ما هي الأسباب فقد تقدم أولها وأشرنا إلى أخطرها، وهو البعد عن العلماء الربانيين، بل ليت الأمر كان مقتصرا على ذلك لهان الخطر، لكنه أشد. فهم يبتعدون ويطعنون ويتهمون ويفترون ولا يفترون، نسأل الله العافية، عاملة ناصبة. تأمرهم فلا ينتبهون، تنهاهم فلا يرتدعون. إن أول وأهم علامة من علامات هؤلاء لكشفهم وفي الوقت نفسه
في معرفة السبب الموقع فيهم أو لهم على أم رأسهم في ضلالهم
هو بعدهم عن أهل العلم، وهذا حكم منهم على أنفسهم،
لذلك لا ترى لهم مرجعيات علمية، لا ترى لهم عمقا في تاريخ العلم
كما وصفهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. في أكثرهم حدثاء الأسنان، سفهاء الأحلام،
فحداثة السن تلتقي دائما أو غالبا على الأقل
مع السفه والطيش.
هكذا هؤلاء، وهذا البعد أوقعهم في الأمر الثاني الذي هو
تنكبهم طريق السلف الصالح الذي فيه النجاة وفيه الاستقامة وفيه السداد وفيه الهدى والرشاد.
لذلك عندما نعى ابن عمر رضي الله عنه على الخوارج أفكارهم وعقائدهم، ماذا كان من ضمن ما قال؟ قال: جاءوا إلى آيات نزلت في الكفار فجعلوها في المسلمين. لو أنهم أدركوا فهم السلف للتنزيل الحكيم لما ضلوا هذا الضلال المبين. وكذلك ابن عباس رضي الله عنه لما ناقش الخوارج ماذا كان من قوله لهم؟ قال: نحن فينا تنزل القرآن ونحن أعلم بتأويله، ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غيره سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. لو أن هؤلاء ضبطوا منهجهم بنهج السلف لما ضلوا في شبهتهم، ولما كانوا أخطر من المعاصي في ضلالتهم، لكنهم ضلوا وأضلوا والعياذ بالله، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله لا ينزع العلم انتزاعا ولكن يقبضه بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فاستفتوهم فأفتوا بغير علم، وفي رواية فأفتوا برأيهم فضلوا وأضلوا. أما الثالثة وهي السبب المرحل والناتج عن السببين الأولين، شعورهم بالاستقلال والتميز، طالما أنهم ليسوا مع العلماء وليسوا مع عامة المسلمين، إذن هم متميزون مستقلون. فتخيل كيف يكون حال من يظن نفسه مستقلا أو متميزا. وهذا الاستقلال والتميز في حقيقته هو الكبر الذي قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكبر بطر الحق وغمق الناس. بطر الحق رده من أهله، فلا يرفعون لأهل العلم رأسا ولا يقيمون لهم وزنا. وغمط الناس غمطهم حقهم وعدم إعطائهم وزنهم، فليسوا هم مع الخاصة من أهل العلم ولا مع العامة من المسلمين، وهذا هو الكبر عياذا بالله تعالى. لذلك أخبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يد الله على الجماعة، ومن شذ شذ في النار، وأن الذئب لا يأكل من الغنم إلا القاصية. لذلك نرى أن شعورهم الاستقلالية هذا مبدأه الكبر ومنتهاه النار إن استمروا على ما هم عليه وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. إخواني، إن أهل الأهواء والشبهات هؤلاء لم يعرفوا الحق ولم يتسربلوا لباسه ولم يتبع أهله، فكان هذا الخطر الداهم محيطا بأفكارهم جاعلا إياها أشد من أخطار أهل المعاصي والشهوات. وتعجبني كلمة قالها بعض المعاصرين في أمثال هذا النفر، قال: إن مشكلتنا مع هؤلاء في عقولهم وليست في قلوبهم، لأنهم يظنون أنهم على حق. إذن المشكلة متعلقة بعقله وتفكيره وانحرافه الذهني، وليست متعلقة بإخلاصه الذي لا يفيد صاحبه إلا إذا وافقه الموافقة أو رافقه الموافقة لسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، والله المستعان.
شيخ حفظه الله says, what makes the people that we referred to the people of innovation and the people of the doubts? Well, they are supposed to be practicing, and they are supposed to be ones who work hard for the sake of Allah, and they have this sincerity, but it is a deceitful sincerity, because what they are upon is not the truth. What made them fall into these pits of misguided methodologies, and that made them from the people of doubts and the people of the desires, and what made them upon a great danger, which is even greater than that of the people of sins. Before we answer the question, or what are the reasons that made them in that bad state, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah mentions two stories, one author from As-Salaf. One of the Imams of As-Salaf said that a shaytan opens for the servant 99 doors of good. 99 doors leading to things that are good, in order to make him fall in one door that leads to evil. So the shaytan doesn't come to the people of the dunya, the people of the shahawad, the people of the desires, and says to them, or comes to them from an angle that has to do with the religion, because they are already away from the religion. And he doesn't come to the people of the religion, the people who are practicing. Shaitan doesn't come to them because they are attached to the religion, they are sincere. Shaitan doesn't come to them from the angle of the dunya and the desires, because they have controlled their desires. But shaitan comes to them from the angle of the religion. He comes to these people from the angle of the religion, tempting them with things that seem or seemingly look like something from the religion. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against following the steps or the tempting steps of a shaitan. Because in following one step of those of a shaitan, it will lead the person to following other steps and then falling into the pits of misguidance. And here the Shaykh mentions, or he quotes a writer, an Islamic writer, a contemporary Islamic writer, but the Shaykh says there are some problems with his manhaj, so we won't mention his name, but I will quote him here. And he said, when the shaitan despairs of misguiding the servant or the worshipper to the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he fails to tempt him through his personal interest and his own benefit, he enters in through an avenue that is disguised under the name of da'wah. So this is why we have to give up, or it's obligatory upon the du'a, this is what that person says, it's obligatory upon the du'a to abandon that word of da'wah. The word of da'wah, they have to abandon it because it has become a shaitan, or it has become a taghut that is worshipped along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the statement of that contemporary person. So this shows us a clear example of this messed up and this misguided understanding of the religion, that these people are even making sins part of the religion. They not only suffice themselves with innovation itself, but they are bringing sins and making them part of the religion. So they say, we shave our beards for the benefit of the da'wah. for the interest of the da'wah, and they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they fall in sin, and they say for the sake of the da'wah, and they fall into partisanship, and they create dissension among the Muslims, and they say for the sake of the da'wah, and they create corruption on earth under the disguise of the benefit or the interest of the da'wah. So these words for, or this statement or these excuses for the interest of the da'wah or for the sake of the da'wah have become hangers or something that these people hang on it everything they want to do following their desires. And they have emptied this great word for the interest of the da'wah from its true meaning. And they have inserted desires and doubts into the religion. The other incident that the Shaykh wants to mention is what was mentioned from Ibn Taymiyyah when he debated with the extreme Sufis. And one of them said to him, "O Shaykh, ya Shaykh, what is your criticism against us? What do you have against us? Why do you expose us? Why do you criticize us? Why do you warn the people against us? We are making the people repent. We are bringing the sinners and making them practicing." So Ibn Taymiyyah said to them, "Wallahi, the thing that you have made them follow is even worse and more evil than the thing that they have made them leave or abandon. Because they were sinners and you transformed them into innovators." So that they remained, or had they remained as sinners and committing sins, it would have been better for them than committing innovation, as we have come to know the evil of innovation. And the Shaykh says, "We have seen this in our lives, and we have come across examples and people who have demonstrated and manifested this reality." He said, "We have seen some people from the public, from the general public, from the common people. They didn't pray, they didn't fast, and they even used to expose themselves and expose their sins and publicly fall into sin. And whenever they saw us in the street, or they just happened to meet, they would be so shy and feel the shame of their sins. And they used to even say to us with humility and with the humiliation of the sin apparent on their faces, they would say, 'Oh Shaykh, make dua for us that Allah guides us.' And they used to start us or begin us with as-salam, with the greeting of as-salam. But time passes by, and we find them in the masjid. So we rejoice and we become happy. But after a couple of days, they stop giving us salam. And they turn away from us. And they warn against us. Why? Because they have become hizbi. With one phone call from somebody, they cut out someone out of their lives. They stop talking to him. And they chuck him out, maybe of the religion of al-Islam. So this is the evil of innovation. And whereas the ma'siyah or the sin is done in the name of shaitan, is done in the name of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apparently. Whereas the innovation, the person thinks that he is worshipping Allah and he does it in the name of Allah, in the name of al-Islam and in the name of the Qur'an. So the Shaykh says the reasons to answer our question why the shahwa or the shubha or the innovation is its evil is greater than that of the sin, and why do these people fall into that and are tempted into the way of innovation. The reason, said Shaykh, we have mentioned them, maybe not directly, but we will refer to the most important of them, which is keeping away from the true scholars. When the person keeps himself away from the scholars, then he is in danger, and he is subjective, or he is subject to falling into the innovation. And the Shaykh says, we hope that this was the case, that they only kept away from the true scholars, but they turned away from them, and they criticized them, they lied against them, and they warned the people against them. And they work hard in that way, they exert themselves. And here we mention the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Amilatun nasibah." These people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those who will enter the hellfire, they used to work hard to the extent that they felt fatigued. out of hard work, but they will end in the hellfire. So you will command these people with good, and they will turn away from you. You will try to turn them away from evil, and they will criticize you. And from the most important signs of such people, and from these things that help us understand what is the cause behind their misguidance, is that they are always away from the people of knowledge. This is their sign. They keep away from the people of knowledge. They don't mix with them. They don't sit in their classes to learn from them, to benefit from them. So they have cut themselves away from the scholars, and they have passed a judgment upon themselves that they have nothing to do with knowledge or with the people of knowledge. So you don't find that they have any references, knowledgeable references that are grounded in knowledge. And they have no depth in the understanding of the religion, not even in the history of the knowledge of this religion, as the Prophet ﷺ described them, that they are young. They are young in age, and they are superficial in their understanding of the religion. And this is the common case with the youth. The youth, they generally have foolishness, unlike the elders. The elders, they have the wisdom and the experience. So that the youth, they mainly have some sort of foolishness and following of desires and emotions. So this is the case of such people. And the second reason that made these few people fall into innovation is that they have turned away from the way of a salaf, of the righteous salaf of this ummah, which is the guarantee for safety on the last day and straightforwardness and the true guidance. And this is what Ibn Umar said, criticized the Khawarij with, and criticized their understanding and their methodology, when he said they came to verses in the Quran that were revealed with regards, or they were revealed to pass judgment or to describe the kuffar, and they applied them on the Muslims. So then he said, if had they took the understanding of a salaf, they would not have been misguided. And Ibn Abbas, when he debated with al-Khawarij, this was his point against them. He said to them that we were the ones among whom the Qur'an was sent down. We were there, we were alive, we were with the Prophet ﷺ when the Qur'an was sent down to him. And we are the most knowledgeable about the interpretation and the tafsir of the Qur'an. So his criticism and the point that he had against them is that they didn't follow the understanding of the companions, the understanding of the Salaf, because they are the ones who have the true knowledge of this religion. And here we've mentioned, the Shaykh Hafidhullah mentions the verse, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. And whoever disputes or doesn't agree or opposes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to him, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows other than the way of the believers, ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى, we will give him that which he has chosen, ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا, and we will make his abode the hellfire, and what an evil destination. So those people, if they followed the understanding and the manhaj of as-salaf, they would not have been misguided, and they would not have followed the doubts, and they would not have been in a danger greater than that of the people of the sin. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed Allah doesn't snatch the knowledge or take it from the hearts of the people, rather Allah takes the knowledge away by taking the souls of the scholars until no scholars remain between the people. So the people take ignorant people as leaders, and they ask them, so they will answer without knowledge, or in another narration they will answer with their desires. So they will go astray, and they will lead the others astray. And the third reason for these people to fall into the innovation, and the reason why they are upon great danger, is that this third reason follows from the first two, is that their feeling of independence and superiority. That feeling that they have of being distinguished of the others, of being superior, of being independent, creates in themselves arrogance and kibr. So they are not from the scholars, and they are not with the scholars, and they are not from the rest of the people. So they are a separate category. They have separated themselves and distinguished themselves. So this sense or feeling of independence and superiority is indeed, in its essence, is arrogance and is kibr and evil. And the Prophet ﷺ described al-kibr as batrul haqq, rejecting the truth. And this is what they do. They reject the scholars, and they reject the advice of the scholars. They reject what the scholars say. So they reject the truth. وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ, and denying the people their rights. So they don't even give the people their rights, because they are nothing different to the people. But they have distinguished themselves, and they have considered themselves to be better than those. So they belittle the people, and they belittle the understanding of the people. This is why the Prophet... And another thing is that, as these people distinguish themselves and set themselves separate from the others, the Prophet ﷺ said that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the jama'ah. So the help and the aid of Allah and the hand of Allah is with the jama'ah, is with the group of the Muslims. And whoever strays or diverts from that way, then he is taking his way to the hellfire and the wolf. He eats from the sheep that is away from the herd. And this sense of independence that they have, as we said, it emanates from kibr and from arrogance. And it will lead them to the... And its end is going to be the hellfire. So it starts with arrogance, and it's going to end in the hellfire. And these are the ones about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Say, shall we tell you about those who will be the worst losers? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those whose actions, whose deeds and whose efforts in this life will go to waste. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَحْسُنُونَ صُنْعًا. While they feel and they believe that they are doing good. And then the Shaykh Hafidhullah says, my brothers, the people of Al-Ahwa, the people of the doubt and innovation and the desires, they did not recognize and acknowledge the people of knowledge or the truth. They did not recognize the truth and acknowledge it and accept it, and they rejected its people. So danger and evil has surrounded them from all directions. And this is the reason why their state is more evil and is more dangerous than that of the sins and the lusts. And then the Shaykh concludes with quoting someone, a contemporary person, who said a word, and he said, our problem with these people, or our problem, our dilemma with such a people is that, is in their minds, is there in their understanding, in their comprehension. It is not in their hearts. So it is in the way they understand the religion and the way they apply it. It's not in the sincerity which is in their hearts. Because sincerity by itself, sincerity as such, does not benefit the person unless it is combined with a correct and true following of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. العلاقة بين الشهوات والشبهات. رعاية الشبهة إفساد في الدين، لأنها طريقة المغضوب عليه. ورعاية الشهوة إفساد في الدنيا، وهي طريقة الضالين. لذلك فالشيطان دخل على أهل الدنيا من باب الشهوات، ودخل على أهل الدين من باب الشبهات. ولا شك أن مدخله على أهل الدين أسوأ حالا من مدخله على أهل الدنيا، أي أن الذي وقع في الشهوة أيسر عليه التخلص منها والتوبة من الذي دخل عليه الشيطان من باب الشبهة، لأن الأول الذي دخل عليه من باب الشهوة يعلم أنه عصى الله وارتكب حراما، أما الثاني الذي دخل عليه من باب الدين والشبهة فيظن أنه على حق وعلى صواب وأنه يريد أن يتقرب بهذا العمل لله عز وجل. ولذلك الله عز وجل بيّن هذا الباب المهم، قال إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى. إذن هؤلاء الذين أفسد الشيطان دينهم بالشبهات بنوا أعمالهم على الظن وبنوا أعمالهم على حظوظ النفس، ولذلك المبتدع يبني للوصول إلى شهوته شبهة، يبني المبتدع للوصول إلى شهوته شبهة، بينما الذي يشتهي يسعى لهذه الشهوة إلا يسعى لهذه الشهوة لذاتها، أو أنه سعى إليها أيضا من باب شبهة، وتخلص العاصي أهون من تخلص المبتدع. ولذلك لو قسمنا المبتدع إلى رؤوس وأتباع نجد أيضا أن التابع عاصي، لأنه حين أراد أن يظن ظنا إنما بناه تقليدا دون فهم وعلم، بينما ذاك أصل هذه المسألة للشبهة من أجل الوصول إلى ما يريد. مثال على ذلك هؤلاء الخوارج، هؤلاء الخوارج أرادوا الوصول إلى الحكم فرتبوا شبهات ركبوها من أجل تكفير الناس وبالتالي الوصول إلى أهدافهم، وهي شهوة التحكم، فهم يشتهون الحكم على الناس فيحكمون عليهم بالتكفير ويريدون بذلك الوصول إلى الحكم إلى سدة السلطة من هذا الباب، فيكفرون الحكام لأنهم يشتهون الوصول إلى القمة. فإزالة الشبهة من رأس العاصي إن وجدت عنده أهون بكثير من إزالة الشهوة عند المبتدع. والخطورة في المسألة عند أهل البدع الذين اتخذوا الشبهة وسيلة للوصول إلى تحقيق الشهوة أنهم يقومون بأمرين، الأمر الأول هو التكذيب، التكذيب لنصوص الوحي من باب الهوى، وأيضا لعلهم يقتلون، ولذلك قال الله عز وجل ولقد آتينا موسى الكتاب وقفينا من بعده بالرسل وآتينا عيسى ابن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس أفكلما جاءكم رسول بما لا تهوى أنفسكم استكبرتم ففريقا كذبتم وفريقا تقتلون. هذا الذي وصل بأهل البدع كما سماهم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بأنهم أهل الأهواء، فالهوى الذي اتبعوه
والظن الذي أقاموه والشبه التي زرعوها بين الناس إنما هي من أجل الوصول إلى شهوة يبتغونها، وهذه الشهوة لعلها تكبر بحيث يستسيغون تكذيب نصوص الوحي، أو والعياذ بالله أكبر من ذلك هو قتل من يصدهم عن الحق، من يصدهم عن الباطل ويقيم عليهم الحق. ولذلك لا بد أيها الإخوة من الانتباه إلى معصية اتباع الهوى، إلى معصية اتباع الهوى، لأن الهوى يهوي بصاحبه في جهنم، والهوى منشأه هذا هو اتباع الشهوة أو اتباع الشبهة. ولذلك إذا قرأتم في كتاب الله عز وجل أو في أحاديث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم موضوع الهوى فتذكروا أنه سعي حظ النفس أولا، وبالتالي يهندسه المبتدعة فيجعلون له نصوصا براقة وشعارا شعارات جميلة يدخلون بها على الناس والعياذ بالله عز وجل.
أخواني لابد من تعليق صغير على الأذان بعد قولنا اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد المسيرة الفضيلة، بعث اللهم مقام محمد الذي وعدته، رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. أقول أحكام الأذان كأحكام التجويد، مدودا وغنة وإدغاما وما أشبه، ولا يمنع أن يكون المؤذن أخا عربيا أو أخا أعجميا لا يحسن النطق، فكلامنا ليس عن النطق أو عن الألفاظ أو عن مخارج الحروف، هنالك أشياء لا يستطيعها الإنسان، أن لا يضبط حرف مخرج الألف مثلا أو مخرج كذا، هذا شيء طبيعي، سواء يعني وبخاصة من إخواننا الأعاجم الذين عاشوا دهرا طويلا في لغتهم وأقل من تستقيم له ألفاظه بعد ذلك، لكن كلامنا عن ألفاظ الأذان وأدائها على وجه أحكام التجويد، فلا نمنع أيضا أن يعلم الإخوة في غير وقت الأذان من قبل إمام المسجد أو بعض طلبة العلم أن يعلموا صفة الأذان الشرعي حتى يتقنوها. فهذه نصيحة والدين النصيحة.
Before we carry on with the translation, Sheikh Al-Halabi also the Adhan gave the advice that after the Adhan, and he mentioned the Dua that we say after the Adhan, he said the rulings with regards to the Adhan are the same ones that apply to Tajweed, the recitation of the Quran, in terms of the Ghunna and in terms of the Idgham and the rest of the rulings. And there's no problem whether the one who does the adhan is an Arab or a non-Arab. And we're not talking here about pronunciation, because some people try their best, but they can't pick up the proper pronunciation. Maybe they have a problem with the point of articulation of one letter. They can't really, even with practice, pronounce that letter as it should be pronounced. But what we are talking here is about the wordings of the adhan, how we say the adhan. And observing the ahkam or the rulings of a tajweed. So it is good, and the Shaykh advises or recommends that someone, one of the students of knowledge or the imam of the masjid, teaches the people how to make the adhan according to the correct ahkam of tajweed. And this is how the brothers should perform the adhan. Now, we move to what Shaykh Hisham hafizahullah said. He said, here the relationship between the desires, the shahwa, and the doubts, the shubha. And he said that the shubha is the corruption, or the doubt is the corruption of the religion, as it is the way of the ones who have incurred Allah's wrath, who are the Jews. And having the shahwa, the desire, it corrupts, or it is the corruption of the dunya. And it is the way of al-dallin, those who went astray, the Christians. So, the shaitan came to the people, or he approached the people of the dunya, the people of the desires, through their desires and their whims. And the shaitan approached the people of the religion through the door of the doubts and the shubuhat. So there is no doubt that the shaitan's approach to the people of the religion is more evil and more dangerous than his approach to the people of the desires. And the one who falls into the shahwa, into the desire, then it is easier for him. It is easier for him to get rid of the sin, because once he knows it's a sin and he intends to repent, he can give it up. But whereas the one who falls into the shubuha, into the doubt, it is much more difficult for him to repent. Because the first one, he knows, the one, the sinner, he knows that he has disobeyed Allah. He knows that he has fallen into a sin. Whereas the second one, who fell into a doubt and into an innovation in his religion, he believes strongly that he is upon the truth and that he is doing the right thing and that he is seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his innovation and through his doubt. So this is why we have to pay attention to this point. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِيَّتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسِ. Verily, what they follow is doubt, dhan, conjecture. It's not certainty. They follow the doubt, وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسِ, and what their souls or what their selves desire. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ, and verily the truth from their Lord has come to them. So those people whom shaitan has corrupted their religion with the doubt, they have established their actions upon doubt and upon the interest of themselves, upon their own interests and upon their own desires. This is why the mubtadi, the one who falls into innovation, through the innovation and through the doubt, he intends to achieve his end, which is a desire. So the end or the objective of the innovator is a desire, but his means is the innovation or the doubt. Whereas the one or the sinner, his end is the desire and his means is the desire. So he wants the desire or the temptation for itself. He doesn't seek it through a doubt or through a misconception or through an innovation or through the corruption of the understanding of the deen. This is why the sinner, it's easier for him to repent than the one who falls into innovation. And if we divide those who follow the innovation into heads and leaders and followers, we will see that the followers are sinners, because they have established their actions, they have established their belief upon doubt and by blind following of their leaders without understanding and without knowledge. Whereas the leader has established, or he's the one who created and invented that innovation or that doubt in order to reach his desire. And the example that the Shaykh gave here is the Khawarij. Their desire or their objective was to reach the position of leadership, to govern the people. They wanted to be the government. They wanted leadership over the people. So they have prepared their doubts, and they have created and invented certain doubts and shubuhat and misconceptions and misunderstandings, and they use them in order to perform takfir and pass judgments of takfir upon people so that they can reach their objective, which is the desire for control, the desire for leadership. And they want to achieve that objective, so they declared the people to be kuffar. They declared the leaders to be kuffar so that they can take over. And then the Shaykh here mentions a statement that needs your attention to be understood, inshallah, because I'll try my best to put it in English, but please bear with me and pay attention. The Shaykh said that removing the shubha, the doubt, removing the doubt from the heart of the sinner is easier than removing the desire from the heart of the innovator. It's not Chinese. I'll repeat again. Removing the shubuha, the doubt, from the heart of the sinner is easier than removing the shubuha, the desire, from the heart of the innovator. I hope it's been made clear. Is that to remove a doubt in the heart of a sinner, because he knows he's a sinner. So it's easier to remove the doubt from his heart. Whereas, to remove the desire from the heart of the innovator, this is very hard. Why? Because we said, his objective is his desire, to fulfill his desire. And he seeks means through what? Through his innovation. So the danger here is that who have taken the shubuha or the doubt and their corrupt understanding as a means to achieve their goal, which is the shahwa, then these people made two things, or they committed two major crimes. The first one is at-takdhib. They disbelieved, or they disbelieved in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah that they disbelieved in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah by following their desire. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِرُسُلٍ. We have given Musa the book and we have sent prophets after him. وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. And we gave the clear signs to Isa ibn Maryam and we have supported him. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ. Is it the case that whenever a messenger comes to you with that which does not agree with your desires and with your whims, you كَذَّبْتُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ, that you become arrogant? So part of these messengers you have rejected and disbelieved in, and part of them you have killed. So this is the similitude, and this is the same thing that happened with the people of innovation. They seek a means through the doubt and through the shubuhat in order to achieve their goals, which is to disbelieve in the Prophet. So, as we have come to know that the end or the objective of the people of innovation and the people of the shubuhat and the doubt is their desires. But the shubuhat are a means. So, this is why the Prophet ﷺ called them Ahlul Ahwa, the people of the desires. The people of Al-Ahwa, because their objective is the Hawa, is the desire. And they follow their desires and they seek means through doubt and through misconceptions. So that, and their evil becomes greater, because once they get used to creating the doubts and using them as a means, it will become easy for them to disbelieve in the text of the revelation from the Quran and the Sunnah, and maybe they will distort them and make it halal for them to kill anyone who stands in their way, anyone who tries to push them back towards the truth. So we have to pay attention to the sin of following the desire. We have to pay attention to the sin of following the desire, because the desire, the hawa, throws the person who has it into the recesses of the hellfire. So the essence of the hawa is following the desire or following the doubt, either following the shahawat or the shubuhat. So whenever you read the Quran or you read through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pay attention to the word and anything that is related to al-hawa and the desire, as it is the essence and everything that the person does to achieve his personal desires and his goals, and he will seek any means to get to his objective, and he will use, as the people of innovation, at every time they will use bright slogans and statements, beautiful statements, to beautify their evil.
وأختم أيها الإخوة بالتنبيه إلى نقطة موجزة ولكنها مهمة فيها بيان أثر الشبهات على الناس، فلتتأملوا الإنترنت، هذا التطور التكنولوجي الذي جمع العالم، لا أقول في غرفة، لا أقول في قرية كما كان يقال قبل سنوات، بل أقول في غرفة وفي جهاز صغير. تأملوا هذا الإنترنت وما فيه من بلاء، بلاء جامع للشهوات والشبهات. أهل الدنيا يجدون بغيتهم فيه، ويجدون متكئا لأهوائهم من خلاله، وأهل الدين يجدون أيضا بغيتهم فيه. فإن كانوا من أهل السنة فإن لأهل السنة مواقع ودروسا وكتبا ومؤلفات ومحاضرات ينفع الله بها، وإن كانوا غير ذلك وللأسف وهم الأكثرون فسيجدون من مواقع البدع والضلالات والأهواء والشبهات الشيء الكثير الكثير الأكثر مما يقوم به أصحابه على ساق الحماسة والعاطفة والتثوير والطعن والسب والكذب والافتراء والظن، وهم يتترسون في أغلب ذلك وأكثره وراء أسماء وهمية، وأنت لا تعلم هذا المتكلم أهو مسلم أم كافر أم رجل أم أنثى، بل لا تعرف أهو إنسي أم جني، وهو ينشر سمومه وينفثها لا تستطيع أن ترد عليه بسفهه ولا أن تنقضه بكذبه، لأنك ستسفه كسفهه وستكذب ككذبه، فالإعراض أولى. لكن الإعراض الأولى والأولى هو عدم المشاركة ابتداء، كما قال الحسن البصري قال: لا تمكن صاحب البدعة من أذنك فإنه يورث قلبك فتنة. قال الإمام الذهبي في السير، سير علام نبلاء، بعد أن أورد هذه العبارة قال: صدق، فإن القلوب ضعيفة والشبه خطافة. وهذا يا إخواني ما عاينته من بعض جيراني. كان لنا جار يأتينا ويزورنا ويحضر دروسنا، وهو من الأدب واللطف بمكان، ثم جعل في بيته مكانا للإنترنت، فصار يدخل على الإنترنت ويشارك في البداية مشاركات عامة، ثم بدأ يغرق ويغرق ويغرق حتى صار تكفيريا خارجيا طاعنا في العلماء وطاعنا في أهل السنة، ولم يضله أحد إلا الإنترنت. لم يأته مبتدع ليناظره، ولم يأتي خارجي ليقنعه، لكن كان سبب ضلاله وباب انحرافه تعلقه بهذا الإنترنت ومطالعته لأهل الأهواء ومواقعهم ومقالاتهم التي تداعب الخيال والعاطفة والحماسة ولا تمس الحقيقة ولا ليس لها منها نصيب. فهذا باب خطر، وخطر جدا، إن سلم صاحبه من ضلال الشهوة فلن يسلم من ضلال الشبهة، والسعيد من اتعظ بغيره كما قال ابن مسعود، وفي هذا القدر كفاية. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah says, I conclude with a very important point that clarifies and shows the evil effects of shubuha, of the doubts and the desires upon the on the people. Contemplate the internet, this great technological advancement that has gathered and put the world in front of you, in hand, in one small device. Contemplate the evils and the trials in terms of doubts and desires that are presented through this internet. The people of the desires will find everything they want on the internet, all the desires and all the shahawat. And the people of the deen, the people who follow, who are practicing, who follow the religion, they will find what they are looking for on the internet. The people of Ahlul Sunnah, they have their websites, and they have their lessons, their lectures, their books, and there are much more in their websites that will benefit the people. But if those, as to those who are not from the people of Ahlul Sunnah, then unfortunately, they have much more and much greater a number of websites, articles, books, and meetings, and other websites on the internet. And those who are behind these websites, deviant websites, they have based their efforts upon emotion, and upon scandal, and upon lying against the scholars, and upon creating doubt and spreading mischief on the earth, and upon doubt, and they have spread all that, and they have been fortifying themselves and disguising themselves through pen names, unreal names. And the one who is reading and who is watching and who is in touch and is in contact with all this material available on the internet, he doesn't see the one who wrote it or who presented it. He even doesn't know whether he's a Muslim or a kafir. He doesn't know whether it's a man or a woman. And you don't even know whether it is a jinn or a human being. So, how can we take our deen or our knowledge from something like that? And even you can't even, if you find something wrong, you can't refute that person. You can't give him advice. Because if you try to do that, then you will stoop to that low level, and you will lie and do the same as he does. So the best thing to do is to avoid anything that has doubt about it. As Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah said, do not submit your ears to the person of bid'ah, to the person of innovation, because he is likely to leave a hint of doubt or fitna in your heart. Because the fitna will creep into your heart through your ear. So do not lend your ears to the people of innovation. Al-Zahabi, after mentioning this author from Al-Hasan al-Basri in his book, Sir A'lam al-Nubala, the biographies of the great people, he said he has got it right. He has got it right because the hearts are weak, and the doubts are snatching and ensnaring. So, this is what the Shaykh says, this is what I have seen in reality from one of my neighbors. He said, I had a neighbor who used to visit us, attend the durus, and be interested in knowledge. And he had a very good character, and he had good mannerisms. And one day, he brought the internet to his house. And he started visiting different websites, and he used to contribute to some websites and deal with them. And gradually, as time passed by, he started drowning and drowning and drowning in that internet until he became one of the Khawarij, a Takfiri, who criticizes and lies and scandalizes the scholars and the people of Ahlul Sunnah, and no one misguided him except the internet that he brought to his house. It didn't take an innovator or a mubtada or a khariji to come to his house and argue with him. But he brought that source of misguidance to his house and he became attached to it. And he started reading and listening to the people of innovation and to their articles, to their lectures that tickle the emotions and the imagination that have nothing to do with the truth. So this is a very important issue and it is a dangerous field, the internet. So we have to be careful when we deal with it. And if the person manages to save him or to safeguard himself from the doubts and the innovations that are on the internet, then it is very unlikely as well that he will manage to protect himself from the trial of the desires that are available on the internet. And as Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, As-Sa'id, the happy one and the successful one, is the one who takes lessons from what happened to the others, from the mistakes of the others, and he doesn't wait to until he himself falls into that evil.
ختاما لهذه الكلمة ننبه بارك الله فيكم على ضرورة الاهتمام بالتعلم والإخلاص لله عز وجل وعدم الاستماع لأهل الهوى وعدم اتباع الهوى بل اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ففي ذلك النجاة ولا شك أن الفتن كثيرة ونحن إذا لم نوطن أنفسنا على الحق ومعرفة تمييز ذلك من أهل العلم والرجوع إليهم فإن هذا مفسدة لحالنا في هذا الدين وفي هذه الدنيا ولذلك الاستقامة مطلوبة وعلى رأسها بارك الله فيكم طلب العلم والاهتمام بذلك والإخلاص لله عز وجل والتقرب إليه بالدعاء أن تكونوا على الحق دوما وحتى يبصركم الله عز وجل ويقيكم اتباع الهوى واضبطوا أنفسكم في هذا الباب ضبطا جيدا ولا تضبط النفس إلا بالتعلم والتخلق والتدين بدين الله عز وجل وجزاكم الله خير الجزاء.
جزاك الله.
Sheikh Hisham Hafizahullah concludes by drawing our attention to knowledge, seeking knowledge, and having sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to listen to the people of the desires, and not to follow our desires, rather we should follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as safety and success lies with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fitan and the trials are so many and widespread. And if we do not force ourselves and cultivate ourselves upon the truth, and we can recognize that truth from the people of knowledge, from the scholars, and by referring to them and asking them and benefiting from them, otherwise, if we don't do that, then we will corrupt and we will destroy our religion, our deen, and our dunya, and our life. And so the Shaykh says, my advice to you is al-istiqama. Al-istiqama, straightforwardness. Safeguard yourself upon the religion, and by seeking knowledge and having sincerity towards Allah, seek nearness to Allah through dua. And keep yourself and confine yourself to stick to the truth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the knowledge in our religion, all of us together, and to protect us from the hawa and the desires. And the best way to do that is to seek knowledge and to apply it on ourselves to the best of our ability. We say, Jazallahu khayran, the shuyukh, may Allah reward them for their efforts, and Jazakum Allah khayran for your patience.